You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 37. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart again in your presence. And God, thank you. So help us. Here we are. And our God, we're going to thank you no matter. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. And in looking at David and all of that, some, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness and all that, we're looking at God's dealing with a believing heart in a world caught up with evil, darkness, and death. Caught up in it, and the believing heart is to be a testimony to the unbelieving. The unbelieving aren't believing. And God saves. God saved Abraham, and God saved Noah. God saved Abraham. God helped Israel up to a point that was their ministry to be a nation. Israel failed, but David didn't fail. Israel didn't flunk out, but David didn't flunk out. And we don't want to flunk out now, because that's our assignment. And we share together, and we, in all kinds of different ways, that the God is going to keep us, and it's his wonderful, he takes possession of the body. He purchased it on Calvary's cross, our death, our burial, and our life. And God goes in his wonderful way and has a wonderful plan. The plan isn't for us. The plan is for him. It's his plan. And when we get saved, we enter into that plan. And thus, God's wonderful steps, God's wonderful working, God's wonderful way, God is the action. God is the atmosphere in which we live and move. We're in the middle of God. The world doesn't care about that, but the believer understands, and we're in the middle of God. So as we go, the action, the outworking, the world is oblivious, but the believing heart is to be fresh and knowing. And we try to share that again this morning in that. And the thing is to be in, to understand, God has a wonderful plan and purpose. It is his will, it is his wish, it is his desire, and he is most pleased and delighted to exercise it. And we need to be in the place that we exercise it. And that's what we keep banging away for each other to get that. You go out, you have all the different things in your head and heart to worry about, to think about, to complain about. But make sure in all of that you don't lose your thanksgiving and appreciation for God saving you right this second. So whatever you're going to talk about, think about, make sure you're understanding, if you're saved, you ought to be very thankful God's saving you right now. Thank you in everything, so that you, as you're going, of all the things you could think about, talk about, hold it, we ought to be what? Thankful. And that will flavor everything, because we aren't looking for us or the world to work itself out for our approval or acceptance or anything else. We're looking for God to be pleased, his action, his atmosphere, as we get down the corridor of time, as we do so. And we do so with thanksgiving. We aren't going to solve. We can't even solve our own heart. We can't solve that, no. But we can enjoy being saved in the process of going. So that's what we're looking at, God's wonderful pleasure, his way. And that's what David is giving an exercise for us. God did it, Psalm 37, to teach sinners in the way, in the light of evildoers, in the light of living in evil, an evil world, dark world, with no light, with no good, a dark world of death and no life. That's where we are. So that's what we're looking at. It's not hard. Going down the corridor, that's what we're doing. So we don't lose that. Say what all this, all the words and verses, that's what it's pointing to lock it in, to give you a foundation to have that. So therefore, in Psalm 37, picking up if we shared in verse 23, the steps of a good man, wholehearted, seek me with your whole heart and you'll find me. The steps of a wholehearted man are ordered, established, passive. God does it. God establishes those steps. God firmly sets those steps. Now, God, can I do any old witch? No. God said, I have a wonderful plan for your life, and I'm going to outwork that plan. And therefore, God's orders established, firmly fixed, firmly directs. God is the author. God is the source. God is the one to make it work out. And the end of verse 23, and he delighteth in his way. Now God, here's the believing heart, and on the steps, one step at a time. And which way is he going to go? North, south, east, west? Which way is he going to go? He's going to go in God's way. God's steps. God's steps are going in God's direction, in God's way. And God is pleasure to give us the steps, to move us and keep us in the steps, and to keep us in the way, like we shared this one, Psalm 23:3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So we're going down the corridor. That's what we're doing. So it isn't a guess, hit and miss. No, God's a wonderful thing with great assurance. So we don't have to sit there and wonder, and then we don't even think about it anymore. So looking, he delighteth in the way, and adding to the fact, he not only establishes the steps and the aim, consequence, in addition to that, he's going to say, he delighteth in the way, not only his steps, but in the way God delighteth in a most wonderful way. And so now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, in his way. So looking at David, so David's all over the place because, like the Apostle Paul with the epistles, David is there. David is God's penman for the most. Moses did whatever directly, 5 books of Moses. But after that, with the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, all of them are wonderful. But David is the man that zeroes in for us. So now, just to catch that, the way. He delighteth, God delighteth in the steps, God delighteth in the way, in God's way. Now, over to Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, you'll pick up the flavor of David again. And it may I go to verse, you'll catch it. I'm looking at the word. Verse 21. David. For I have kept the ways that belong to whom? Belong to the Lord. I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. I didn't get sidetracked. I didn't lose the trail I was going down in the corridor of time. Verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, a shield to all those that trust in him. God. His way. His wonderful way. Over to pick it up. David said, so you don't have to guess. This God has the steps, and God has a way. So not even a guess. Verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength, he maketh my way perfect. So going down, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, work, home, school, that's what we're doing. Business, whatever you got to do. So now, having said that, and picking it up over in verse 37, which is what we're doing, looking at that in particular, but see it there. in Psalm 37. And may I go to verse 5. We did it, remember, on Wednesday. Commit thy way unto the Lord, knowing that God has a way. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So we shared all that a little bit. Now, sliding down, commit thy way. So that's what we're going to do. God has a wonderful plan, and we're going to go and roll our way unto the Lord. That's the word commit. To roll it, so God put the barrel, roll the barrel, heavy barrel, onto the wagon so you don't have to carry it. And commit thy way, roll it onto the Lord so that he carries it down the track where he's going. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. So people are doing what they're doing, but when you get saved, God has a whole nother, but we're so used to doing what we're doing, the way we do it. This is our way we've lived all of our life. We get saved, and now that's our way. But now it's no more our way. It's changed. It's hard to let go of that, isn't it? Because we're so used to doing our way. It's our way. It's our way of thinking, our way of talking, our way of running, eating, everything. It's our way. It's hard to adjust. To let go. I know it is. Therefore, God, here we are looking, and verse 34, chapter 37, verse 34. And you pick up, David says it, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. God, so you're going to hang in there. The wicked are going to do what they're going to do. The world's doing what it's doing, but you're going to hang in there and going God's way, a whole new way, a whole new, his steps, his way, a most wonderful thing God is doing. Now, having said that little bit, so God's steps and God's way, and David says, they're my steps are God's steps. And my delight is God's delight. I am delighted to go down that corridor. God is delighted, and I'm delighted. We've been looking at it. God said, I am pleased to save you, and we're pleased to be saved. God said, it is my pleasure to take care of you, and we say it is our pleasure that you take care of us as a heavenly Father. Ought to. Now, having said that, keeping all of that in mind, going down, God delighteth in the way that we go, and the walking, the way is to do with walking, going, marching along, traveling along. It's an action word, moving along, one step at a time, going down the corridor the same way. Now, in order to capture that, what we've been looking at in from a different window, over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, putting it together in a different way to see it. And to understand it. Isaiah 53, picking up in thought, if I may. And you will note, please, this is the Psalm, Isaiah chapter 53, is about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jewish people don't want to, that's very tough for them to read the Bible like this, because they don't want to have to do it. So they play with it, tradition, the Talmud, and all those different things. Why? Because they can't say. It's about the Savior going to the cross. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman going to the cross to die. But if I say that, then we've crucified Christ. And we don't want to think we've crucified Christ. We said we have no king but Caesar. And we don't want to admit we made a terrible blunder. And we won't admit it until he steps out of heaven at his return at the end of the tribulation. And then the Jewish people, those some of them, the answer, whatever, they're going to step into their house and see him. And they're going to realize, Zechariah, that they crucified the Son of God. And they see him, his nail-pierced hands, and they run and hide, not hide, they're shamed. Now, hang on to all that. So that's the psalm, Isaiah 53, I should say. Now, go directly to verse 6 in the light of all that. All we, what about Christ? All we like sheep, Christ is the shepherd. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to, three words, his own way. Now, what's the problem? Humans are supposed to be in God's way, showing God's wonderful person. But they've gone their own way, showing evil, darkness, and death. That's what they're doing. What is it like to be without God? Evil. And the unsaved world is being and demonstrating, as we shared this morning, demonstrating what it is to be like without God. Now, wars, rumors of wars, and everything else, disease, depression, disappointment, all of these things. Now, so again, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity, the lawlessness of us all. Now, God did that. That's why Christ died, to save us from what? Our doing our way. So we get saved and we keep doing our way. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. It's about a whole other way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, Christ died to get us back on track when we get saved into God's way. Not our way, but God's way. Sliding over again, chapter 55. And in chapter 55, remember we're looking at the way. So here it is again. Picking up, please. In verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, saith the Lord. There's your way and my way. God establishes the steps to go in his way, not to go in our way. So we're going to do our thing, then you want in God's way. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Higher. So it's a whole other world. And therefore, what can we do? The steps that we take in the way that we go, it is God's doing and God's way. And all we can do is take the steps. Take his steps and you'll be in the way. And when you stay in the way, God's doing his wonderful work. Higher than the heavens. You and I are not going to sit there and explain it and put it together. Hang on, we'll catch that on Wednesday. I don't think I'm going to get trivia tonight. You'll see it, trifles. Now, in the light of that, picking up that in the light, my ways, and keep in mind, I'll read it because it's very good to keep understand that. Verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, plants and food, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. That's how we get all the produce that we eat. Now, God, you do that with the food to everybody. Verse 11. So shall my word be, that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, empty, fruitless, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It is my privilege to exercise my word and my will. And you ought to be pleased and take pleasure that I'm doing it. That's what I want. I want you to enjoy what I'm doing. Even though you don't understand it, it's higher than the heavens, and that's what's so magnificent about it. You aren't sitting there, I got it in my hand and I have it in my pocket and I put it in my notebook. No, you can't put that in your notebook. You can't do that. You don't have it in your notebook when you take his way. His way is higher than the heavens. And all you're doing is trusting him, using your good common sense and things to do, and driving the car and opening the refrigerator and everything you do the best thing you can as you understand it, trusting God with your whole heart. Now, and as you do that, so therefore, Therefore, God's word is going to be outworked, and it pleases God to do just that. Now, having said that, go to Isaiah 65. And in Isaiah chapter 65, a couple more, but here you'll pick up the flavor of it as God puts it together for us. Isaiah 65, please. And you'll note in verse 2 directly, I have spread out my hands, 65 and 2. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. Their own way, their own thoughts. And that's why Christ had to die on the cross, to save us from our own way and our own thoughts, to save us from them. Now, keeping that in mind, over to Isaiah 46. And in Isaiah chapter 46, picking up, if I can, 46, you pick up the flavor of it, going directly in the light of context, verse 10. Declaring the end, 46 and 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient old times, the things that are not yet done. They haven't even happened yet. They're going to happen all next week, but you haven't got there yet. Not yet done. Saying, what are you saying, God? Like in Isaiah 55:11. My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I'm pleased to do. I'm delighted to do. It is my will to do. So God, what are we supposed to be doing? Have a debate with you, to talk, and or even disregard you? No, you're supposed to be looking and being pleased that I am constant. That's why we shared all that, you know. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, in giving thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Isaiah 5 and all that, giving thanks to the Father in everything. Why? Because God's being everything, even though we're naive, dumb, and blind, and stupid about the whole thing. God's doing it anyway. And what are we going to do? We're learning to connect this thing properly so that we understand, God, you didn't disappear, and you didn't go away, and you're there. And so I need to go and practice that and really do it, not just get a word about it and then promptly dive off the deep end without ever putting it to work. No, you got to put it to work. So therefore, I will do all my pleasure. All my pleasure I'm going to do in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you would please to get illustration that will help you. It's easy. Over to Deuteronomy and chapter 11, giving you an Old Testament illustration. Deuteronomy and in chapter 11. And remember, we did all these things 100 years ago. 100 years ago. That's getting too real. 100 years ago. Wow. You know, some of you weren't even born. Wow. Okay, now, over here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Picking up if I can. God is encouraging Israel. They're going to cross the Jordan pretty quickly. And after Moses dies here. And Deuteronomy chapter 11. And God isn't helping them understand what's happened. They left Egypt. And chapter 11, verse 10. For the land whither thou goest and cross the Jordan to possess, it is not as the land of Egypt in the Nile River, from whence you came out, where thou sowest the seed, thy seed, for plants, for food, and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. And remember now what God did. How did you people live in Egypt for 400 years? How did you live? Everyone had to go in order to get food. Here they living at the end of the Nile, going into the Mediterranean Sea, land of Goshen, going in there. And as they're going in, were they going to do what? Well, they had to get food. And how were they going to get the Nile over to where they were? They had little tracks they made, roads, little channels, and they had pumps. And they, how did they pump it? They stood, like you've seen some they do in the world today. And they had the thing built there, and they pump the water to the next, from one place to the next level. And the next guy comes along and pumps it to the next level. And finally, the water gets to where you want it. That's how they lived. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's how they lived. And they couldn't survive if someone wasn't pumping the water. Pumping the water, pumping the water. We gotta be Christians, we gotta be the good guys, and we're, here we are, tough, we're gonna do it. But we never do it. It isn't that we didn't have gumption to do it, but we just can't do it. We can't produce it. We can't produce what requires the Spirit of God. You just can't do something God has to do. So therefore, God, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to tell them, Israel, that they aren't going to go, when they cross the Jordan, it's not going to be a whole lot of work and effort to survive. Watch. You know it. Verse 11. But the land, whether you go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year, even until the end of the year. Listen, I watch over it from summer, so all 12 months, I'm watching your land. Who's taking care of the land? God said, I am. Hang on. Who's taking care of stuff? God said, I am. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord that your God, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, and I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, and thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart do be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And God, you're going to do all that. That's right. God, you're going to go and take care of them. Sliding down to verse 22. For if you diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all those nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. And, by the way, step by step, your steps, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread, walk, go one step at a time, shall be yours. From the wilderness, even to Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost part of the sea, the Mediterranean, you shall be your coast. And when the Lord comes, they're going to have from the Euphrates all the way over to the Red Sea. It's going to be theirs. You think, here's this little piece of land, Palestine. Whoops, it's going to be like this. Wow. Now, God, and what did you have to do? I just want you to take one step at a time. Why did you want me to take one step at a time? To claim my good pleasure, I've given you this. God, do you have a wonderful plan for us? Yes. And you have to take one step at a time. Well, how much? Couldn't we just have the plan? No, you can't. We shared it this morning. You can't have what you do now as adults when you were a little baby. You had to go through step by step, stumble and grow. Then you became a young person. And you kept growing and growing, and you became adults, keep coming along. And that's how we got here. We didn't get here with one leap and bound. We inched our way along. That's what you're doing now. That's all you're doing, one step at a time. You say, "What? No, you can dream and aspire and desire, do what you want, but you only get there one step at a time. That's all you can do. You can't get there in a boom, be there, see? It would save you a lot of money in college and stuff, if you want to spend that much money these days. Well, now, so in the process, so God, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, you have given Israel, and as we share together, Israel failed, but David did not. So David looked to God, and it delighted him, and back over to Psalm 23. Psalm 37, I should say. And in Psalm 37, picking up the thought, and he delighteth, remember we shared delight. Delight implies the inclination, a full, complete inclination, a entire bending to the object of your choice, showing favor, bending, inclining, showing favor, bending down with pleasure. Not to bend down in sadness or anything, to bend down with pleasure, to bend in your direction in pleasure, to outwork his steps and his way. That's what you want. And you do not. All you do is bumble along, and you don't get all flustered. You're just doing, and God just outworks it because you're trusting him. And that's what you do. Now, having said that little bit and going down the corridor like that, keeping that in mind in God's wonderful thing, and in Psalm 37 again, and in verse 34, remember, wait in the Lord and keep his way. So God, here we are going, and God delights and takes pleasure in his way, his plans, his purpose, and all that he's doing. Over, if you would please, to Proverbs 69. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. Proverbs 16 and 9. And you'll notice, remember, as we shared, but keeping in mind now again, Proverbs 16, verse 9, we shared it this morning, a man's heart devises, plans his way, but the Lord directeth his steps, and the Lord works it all out, step by step. The lot is cast into the lap, verse 33 we read, and the whole outworking of it is God's. So God, you're doing what you're doing in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind as you do it, God does whatever he is pleased. And you remember that. Well, you're back over. It's worth reading again. Psalm 115, to keep in mind so you know it. So if anyone ever asks, you're able to say it at least in your heart because you know it. In Psalm 115 and in verse 3. In the light of where is God? Where is God? Where is your God? Here you are in all things, and here you, how come you're so thankful, trusting God? Why aren't you talking about this and criticizing that? Why aren't you doing that? Because I'm looking to God, who I take pleasure in what he's doing, his way and his word, his work, his will. And therefore, Psalm 115 and verse 3, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. God's doing what he is pleased to do in a most wonderful way. So God, you're doing that. That's right. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, God is pleased to do, back over to Psalm 37. God's going to do. He's delighted to do it. He's pleased to do it. And the believing heart ought to enjoy all of that. So now when we come, if I can, to Psalm 37, and the next statement, which ties together it. Now, I'll read verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though the man fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So God, what are we doing? Well, God said, listen, I'm going to take care of you step by step. I'm going to go on my way. Now, God, does that mean that everything's going to be just super duper? Though we fall, to fall down. Think of a house falling down flat to the ground. Think of a city like Babel, like Jerusalem with Nebuchadnezzar falling flat to the ground, as it were. Think of that falling flat to the ground. Now, having fallen that, and in the process, you just read it. You don't have to turn back there. In Proverbs 16 and 33, the lot is cast into the lap. C-A-S-T, cast. Now, so what do we have in verse 24? He shall not be utterly cast. So what is the word? You have the same word, Proverbs 16, 20-33. The lot is cast. That falls into us, going down the corridor of time. The whole system is there, doing what it's doing. Government and politics and everything's out there, all over the place. And there's a great diversity and clear division about stuff. You know that. But whole nother world. Fushi's over here, and someone else is over here, and the guy down there, the head of Yale, if you heard him on Levin or whatever, he just said, "Listen, they don't even listen. They don't want to know." They don't want to know the simple stuff of what it really is. So now, here we are, and that's why you don't get caught up in this thing. It isn't a clear-cut thing at all. So obviously, if they're dropping bombs, like they did in England back then, if they're dropping bombs in the city at night, then everyone should go to the shelter, regardless of family, friends, church, or anybody, right? We'd all go to the shelter. That's what we do. Because it's a common, boom, bomb's coming down. But when it isn't, there's nothing like that. It's all over the place. So now, having said that, picking up, please, in that, he the house falling down, everything's falling down, a mischief, bad. Utterly cast down without turning there. Think of Jonah. Jonah said, what did they do? We threw everything, we cast everything over the sea, out in the sea with the big storm. We cast it over the side to try to save the ship from sinking. And Jonah then said, and as you read all those things, and then Jonah said, you got to throw me, cast me, cast, throw me over the side. You want to save the ship? Throw me over the side. And that's what Jonah said. He had no messing around. And Jonah said that. And God, in his wonderful grace, said, listen, I got a big fish down there. And when you go over the side, I'm going to have that fish take you down into its tummy. And I'm going to keep you there until you learn. And then I'm going to have him spit you up where you belong. So if you don't mind, God, can you do it? Oh, God can. He loves doing it. What a pleasure it is to him. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over in thinking of that, Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs in chapter 24. Picking up, if I can, in verse 16. Say it for us. Help us. God, 24, 16, the light of the movement. Verse 16, for a just man falleth seven, there's your little word fall, cast, utterly cast down, cast, fall. He's going to fall seven times. Now, God, that doesn't mean if I do everything, everything's going to be good. No. How did you grow up? Back to we just did it. With a little kid, you just don't get out like an elephant or an animal and get out and stretch yourself and walk around. A little baby doesn't, baby's the most helpless of all the things that are ever born. You couldn't do anything. All you did is lay there and look, cry, and discover being alive. Wow, that's right. And that's what we did, one thing at a time. But God, we took one step and and we stumbled and fell. That's how we learned, how we literally got here. That's good. Now God said, listen, we're going to fall. That's physical. That's human. But it's also spiritual. We're going to try to run the race, but we fall down. We don't mean to fall down. But when we fall down, we get up. That's right. The difference. You don't get depressed. Get depressed and say pressed down. You don't do that. That's what depression is. Depression, press down. How do we get out of depression? Press up. Stand up. Don't get down, get up. Want to stop being depressed? It's up to you. In your head, that's where it is. Now you either are going to fix it or not in your brain. And you're either going to fix it or not. If you want to fix it, fix it. But no, I don't want. I want to be disappointed, depressed, depleted. Then be it. That's a thought. It's your thinking that's doing it. Fix your thinking and you fix the whole ball of wax. Think right. Now, out of the heart comes all the issues of life in Proverbs 4. Now, so here we are looking, and verse 16, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fail, and fall into mischief, ruin. They are coming out of it, what they do. But you come out of it. So when we fall down and have all of that, then God goes and does his wonderful thing for us and in us and about us. So when we're cast down, back over to Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, picking up in thought, Psalm 37 in verse, read it myself, verse 24. Though he fall, and he will, even seven times, 70 times seven, so what? Nothing, you fall down, you get up, that's how you learn. He shall not be utterly, utterly, utterly cast down. He's not going to be put down that he can't get up. Why? Because the Lord is going to go and uphold and support him. That's what the Lord's going to do. The Lord's going to help him to make it. So therefore, God, looking to you, we're going to go down the corridor, and God, you're going to help us. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, or in the light of all of that, so God, trusting you to work all these things out, and in your wonderful way, and you're going to do that. So God, we're going to go and trust you. Uh-huh, that's what we're going to do. Over in Psalm 32, and we read it this morning, Psalm 32, verse 8, all kinds of ways, but here's one of them. Just remind us that we work it out, God helps us. So we aren't left without a father, we aren't left without a care, we aren't left with lost, we aren't in the middle of nowhere, going to get hurt, fall, and no one's there. No, God's there. God's there. That's the main point. God's there. God never was absent. And you need to know that. And you're pleased to know that. You're very thankful to know that. And you proceed. So here's Psalm 32, picking down in verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way, the steps in the way, which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Only, remember verse 9, be not as an horse or as a mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. In other words, the horse has to be controlled. Otherwise, the horse does what it wants to do. Human heart, what are we going to do? God, you have to help us control. God, you have to help us to walk, to get to where we're going. Otherwise, we aren't going to get there. And God said, listen, I'm going to help you. It's my way. It's my way of doing things, which is higher than the heavens. And you aren't going to understand it, so you're going to learn to trust me. So you aren't looking for some big explanation about something. You're learning to trust God, period. just thank you. How much is involved in that word? Thank you, God. Thank you very much. That's it. Didn't do anything. You just keep doing what you're doing the best you can. Thank you very much. Thank you. Just keep going. That's right. That's what it's all about. God said, I leave you in the world as my child to show the other side of the coin. There's being saved and there's being unsaved. There's the evil and there's the good. There's the evil and the world system without God. And then there's the heart with God. And the heart with God is blessed. The heart with God, God is outworking his goodwill in a most wonderful way. So Psalm 81. And in Psalm 81, picking up in thought, you would pick it up if I can. Oh, and you'll catch the flavor of it. You know it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful psalm. And Psalm 81 and verse 10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. That's all. Like a little bird, you're dependent. Little birds are dependent on the parents. Parents are bringing food in. And if they don't open their mouth, they don't get the food. That's what they do. And they're waiting. And God, we're looking for your will to be outworked in these hours and days in which we live. That's what we're looking for. And therefore, verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. They wouldn't allow me. They didn't even look to me, didn't trust me. Verse 12, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. They walked how they wanted to walk. They didn't walk in my steps. They did their own steps. They did their own thing. The Lord hath turned every one to his own way, Isaiah 53:6. Well, that's what the world's doing, what it's doing. That's why Christ died. Now, and therefore, verse 13, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel, and Israel had walked in my ways. If they had just done my ways. Not their ways, my ways. That's all I want. And if they had done my ways, you know that wonderful section. Verse 14, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. In other words, you may fall down, you may get beat up, you may get bruised, but the world system is going to be judged, period. Therefore, verse 16, he would have fed them with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. I would have done that, but you just didn't believe. You mean I just want you to believe? That's right. Now, how are we going to make it? Believe. Just believe. That's what you do. Thank God and believe. Then you won't know. You want other things you want to have to do and answer. You'll never know until you believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. Either believe or don't. You better believe, think of Hebrews 11:6. You got to believe that I am. Believe that He is God. We're in His presence. Either you do or you don't. Either you are trusting and believing or you don't. Well, then why? I forgot. I didn't think about it. Well, that's the trouble. You weren't believing. When you don't believe, you don't have the benefits. Over in closing, if you would, over to Isaiah. In Isaiah, if I can, and in Isaiah in chapter 40. Isaiah in chapter 40. Do even further. 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Now God, here we are looking. Our God upholdeth, though he's cast down. He doesn't stay down because God supports him. Psalm 37:24. God supports him. All right? So that's what we're going to do. Now what's so hard about that? Isn't it? It isn't hard. I say thank you, and you do what you have to do. Thank you. That wasn't hard. Right? I get down to go to bed. Thank you, God. God has it. Thank you. God has it the night. God has the morning. God has the whatever. Thank you. That's all. You got big thing. No, I try to stay focused a little bit and try to understand and practice a little bit. Do it. And it works. That's all. It just works. That's what it does. You say, if you just knew my job, if you just knew my family, if you just knew this, and you have horrible things you think, but when you're all done, you have never been God as faithful, and you think you got it bad, and there's 7 billion out there that have it worse than you do. So you have to count, it's back off. Back off, if you just knew my circumstances and my lifestyle and my family. Back off, back down, and look to God. And you'll find your heart is going to be thankful, and you're going to plow right through this with pleasure. And when people see you aren't all caught up with everything, you're relaxed, and you're going. That's what you do. That's so simple. But we don't do it. That's because we don't believe. We just aren't believing. See, it isn't a trick. It's just that you're going to believe it. God gave all of his words and said it. Therefore, Psalm 41, Isaiah 41, and in verse 8, "When thou Israel art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend." Sliding down to verse 10. "Fear thou not," why not? "For I am with thee." That's what David said, didn't he? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." What are you going to say to us? "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's what he says. Okay. So now, picking up, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." So don't be overwhelmed. I just want you to believe, and I'll do all what I do in the most simple, ordinary things, in a most wonderful way, outworking one thing at a time. And verse 10, "I will strengthen thee." Mm-hmm. "I will help thee." "I will uphold thee," support thee, "with the right hand of my righteousness." The word righteousness is power, strength, victory. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. God, what do we read? "You will not be cast down. I will not let the man or woman that's trusting me." Psalm 37, verse 24. "Though he be cast down headlong, down into the ground, he won't stay there. I'm going to get him back up again and keep going." Wow. That's how we make it. That's how we keep going. Wow. We get through things. So therefore, sliding down, "I will help thee." And you know verse 13 then, "For I, the Lord, thy God, will help hold thy right hand, saying, unto thee fear not, I will help thee." Now, God, if you're holding the hand, and remember, this, you could hold, remember the illustration, easy, crossing the street. You could have the little child hold your hand, and hold your hand. And the trouble is, if something happens, the child is holding your hand, and the child is holding your hand. And that isn't very safe. But the child's holding your hand. That's not so safe, because it won't take much to let go. So God, what do we do with the little child? We take the little child's hand in our own, and we hold the child's hand. And the hand of the little child isn't dependent on itself. It's dependent on my hand. It's dependent on God's hand. God, you got to hold us as we go down. God said, "I'll hold your hand if you don't mind, and I'll help you get there." Now, what more can you ask for? You know, you're only a handful of people. That's all we are. The main body of everything, doesn't care about any of this that we're talking about. You realize that, of course. They don't care. Come on. Wow. So God, here we are. Therefore, verse 14. Fear, the words of encouragement always. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, O ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. God said, I'll help you. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God said, we're going to help you get there. So what are we going to do? God's going to show the world, as we get down the corridor of time, his wonderful life in the midst of death. He's going to show light. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And he's going to show the darkness up. God said, I'm going to make everything work out for good, and I'm going to show up the evil. I'm going to show the world the difference of knowing me and honoring me and leaving me out of the picture. And that's what your assignment is. Israel flunked, but David didn't flunk. And God used David to bug us, to encourage us to not flunk. You're my witnesses, saith the Lord. Then be it and relax. And you'll enjoy life better. But you're going to be all caught up in what's going on, and it's going to get more difficult than ever. Then God help us. So the truth will what? Romans 8, John 8, 32. The truth will make you great bondage. No. The truth will set you free. Now, why don't you enjoy being free in truth? We're his. Thankfully, his. It is his pleasure. He's pleased to be our God, and we're pleased to have him as our God. No? Whoop crows. Our God and Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness. Deal with our heads and our hearts as we bumble along. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. Thank you, God. We aren't interested in being academic or whatever. God, we just want to be real. We want to be able to enjoy the realities of being saved. The reality of you being our God and Savior. Your pleasure, your delight. We're in it, God. I can't ask for more. We can't ask for more. So all we can do is capture it and line our heart with you. God, your pleasure is going to be our pleasure. Your way is our way. Your steps are our steps. And God, we're going to use each thing and do everything we can in the ordinary, knowing you're going to work it out for your honor and glory. School, work, home, coming, going, easy, hard, pills and no pills and all the other things. God, thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's just us, God. The others, nope, they don't even know or care sometimes. But God, here we are. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.